services here in the sanctuary. Pastor Gary Gates, thank you so much for coming. Miss Ann, thank you for being here as well, all the way from Alabama. Pastor Gary led our Sunday school this morning, and it was about ministry. It was about serving, and it was about listening to what God directs you to do and being a part of the plan that He has for you. And when somebody that's been in the ministry as long as Gary brings a message like that, it inspires me. It reminds me that there is something about God's calling that will see us through everything that we go through, no matter what it is, because that calling leaves an indelible, not just impression, but man, an indelible ownership on our lives. It's that God chose me to do a ministry. God selected me to do a work. God equipped me for His glory. And that's something that we can't just disregard. And so when things get tough and trials come, we go back to that calling. But I'm going to say that's not just for pastors. I know that I could probably speak for Pastor Jeff, Pastor Gary, and myself. When we realized the call into the gospel ministry and we understood the gravity of that call, but that call into ministry is not just for pastors. It's for you as well. You see, God called each and every one of us to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we look around today at the ministry fair that we're going to be a part of following this service, you're going to look at different ministries of the church. And when you see those different ministries of the church, there was something that God did to call somebody to serve in that capacity, to equip somebody for the roles of those ministries. Sometimes we look at the ministries and we say, well, that ministry seems to be struggling. Is it because God quit calling people? Or is it because people quit listening? What's up with that when the ministry seems to be struggling and there doesn't seem to be the people to fill those roles? Let me make a foundational statement for what ministry is. Let me make a foundational statement for what it means to be called into the ministry. Listen to this. For a ministry to function properly, it must be led by the Lord. It must be led by the Lord. If a ministry is going to function properly, it must be led by the Lord. Do you know what it means to be led? That means that you have those that follow. When you lead a horse, you have the horse by the reins, and you walk him down the path. And what does the horse do? He follows. But quite often, when we feel like we are being called into the ministry, our fellowship doesn't necessarily conform to the direction that God wants to take us. Listen, if we're going to be successful in the ministry and function properly in the ministry, it must be led by the Lord. It sounds like there's a constant seeking. When you were called into the ministry, Pastor Jeff, that just began your seeking, didn't it? That just began your discovery of what God would be doing with you. And I'm sure that those years back, you never saw the doors that God would open for you ahead of time and where He would position you for His work and who He would place you with to serve. It sounds like there's not just a seeking on the front end, but a continuous seeking that takes place through it all. And it sounds like if we're being led by the Lord, there's a following. Sounds like there's a seeking. Sounds like there's a following, and it sounds like to me all of this is a calling. It's necessary that the work that God does through us is His work so that it will bring God the glory and not us. It's necessary that the work that God does through us is His work so that it will accomplish His results and not ours. You see, what I will also say to us today before we get further down the road in this message is that God has adequately gifted you. He has adequately gifted each one of you to do the works of the ministry that He's called you to accomplish everything that He wants to accomplish. For your ministry and your work to function and be proper in His sight, He's gifted you that way. You say, me? Yes, you. The giftedness that God has given you is so that His glory will be given throughout this world. God is not scratching His head wondering why you exist. He knows why you exist. He formed you in the womb, and He destined your steps. And He's not up there wondering what He's going to do with you. He knows what He wants to do with you. The question is, do you? Have you sought? Are you willing to follow? Are you knowing that He has a call for you? You see, it does take that seeking. And if there's going to be a seeking, that means there must be something to find. We have all been given the gifts from the Spirit of God. Take your Bibles, if you will, and open up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, begin with me in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 begins this way. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, beseech is one of the strongest words of plea that anyone could ever give to somebody else. To beseech someone is to beg them. And Paul has such a heart for the ministry of the people and for the works of service that God would have them do. He's willing to beg them. Listen, people. Listen, Central Baptist Church. I'm begging you. Don't miss out on the works that God has for you. Don't let God be up there in heaven knowing the destiny He has for you, knowing the desire He has for you, knowing the distinction that He has of you. Don't be in this world going, I'm just coasting along trying to figure out. Listen, start seeking God. Start looking for what it is He has for you. Do I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It's a merciful thing that God has placed in position before you a calling so that you don't waste your days, so that you don't waste your time. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What does it mean to present your bodies to God? That means you give God all of you. You see all this? Everybody do this. Come on, do this. That's what you're giving to God. All the glory of you can muster is His. How about that? Some of you say, I'm not as glorious as I used to be. Yeah, He'll use a donkey in a pinch. That's okay. Balaam, you remember that? He can use you if you give yourself to Him. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. All of who you are belongs to God. That means that there's no dark corner. There's no recess. There's nothing that you can hold back and say, God, I'm not giving this to you. You can have this part of me. You can have my voice. You can have my mind. You can have this, but I'm not giving you everything. No, God wants all of you, because when you invest all of you, He gets to work His glory through everything that you are, and He develops you into what His desire and will is for you to be. And so we are giving it all to God according to what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lay it down. Holy. You say, wait a minute, I'm not holy. Did He make you righteous when He saved you? Did He remove your sin as far as the east is from the west to remember it no more? If God says you're holy, if God says you're righteous, who is it that whispers into your ear you're not worthy? It's not God. It's Satan. And you remember when He redeemed you for a purpose, and that was for His glory, to use you in that way. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If I belong to Him, shouldn't I be about His business? It's your reasonable service. So we submit to find the will that God has for us to find the place that God has for us to serve. And how do we submit? Well, we just saw it in those passages by the renewing of your mind. That's part of what takes place. Continue reading with me in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Sounds like there's a whole bunch of ministries being described in verses 3 through 8. Did you see all those different kinds of ministries? How will they ever, number one, come about? And number two, work side by side with one another. Remember, we are fallen, redeemed, but fallen people, and we still go back to the flesh. So I ask the questions, how will they, number one, come about? And number two, how will we work side by side each other in all these different kinds of callings in the same body? How will that happen? Well, we skipped over verse 2. Here's the key that unlocks it all. And do not be conformed to this world. What's this world about? Right? What's this world about? Self. Me, myself, and I. Now, I'm not dogging you if you take selfies. That's fine. Take selfies. We can put the frowny face on them on Facebook if we want to. That's fine. I'm kidding. I would only put smiley faces on your selfies. But that's what the world's about, self. And what we would be like if we're like the rest of the world is we would be like selfish. It would be about me. And everything about my day would be about me. Oh, thanks be to God, there's a pastor that on a Friday night, his door can be opened so two people can walk in and say, we need to know that we're saved. Oh, thanks be to God, there's a Sunday school teacher that you can hit them up and give them a call and say, I'm walking through these difficulties. How do I get through? So thanks be to God that there's you. That somebody needs to be able to lean on sometimes by the grace of God so that you help them and minister to their needs. Don't just think it's about those people. It's about you too. Where you've been, God redeems that so you can use it where another's walking. So that heartbreak you went through, that failure you endured, that success that you walked with, God wants to use that in somebody else's life so that they can get through what they're going through too. But it's the key. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you see the proof is in the pudding? When you're walking the ministry that God's called you to walk, remember there's something to find. And when you find it, the ministry that God's calling you to, and you're walking the ministry that God's calling you to, you're not proving yourself. That's why he goes on to tell you it's not about you in the following verses. You're proving that there is a God who loves you and loves others and has equipped you and led you in ministry. You're proving that there is a God whose love reaches beyond yourself to the world around you. That proof that's in the pudding, God wants to be in your life so that others also say, hey, what do you got? I want to find that too. There's something to find. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hope you're not hungry because I think God's given me a double barrel full today. I'm going to get you out of here in time, I promise. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, let me help you with interpretation here real quick. When you read now concerning spiritual gifts, what do you think this passage is about? You got it. It's about spiritual gifts. So we're wanting to know how God calls me, what there is that he's having me seek so that I can find it. And when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this is what we're looking at, spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So there is an opportunity for us to be ignorant, for us not to seek, and for us not to find. In Romans, Paul says, I beg you that you find this, that you present your bodies to God as your reasonable service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's hitting on the same thing, that we can be ignorant by not giving ourselves up to the glory of God. Look at verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What Paul is laying out there is salvation. He's laying out the fact that you can't say Jesus is accursed if you've been saved because you know better. And you will not call Jesus Lord if you've not been saved. You won't yield to his authority and walk under his control if you've not been saved. He's bringing salvation out. Why is he bringing salvation out? Because if you've been saved, he's talking to you. And if you've been saved and he's talking to you, he goes on to say this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, that Spirit that drew you to salvation. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, that Lord that died on the cross so his blood would be shed, so your sins would be forgiven, so that you would be redeemed. Who are we talking about? The Lord Jesus. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God. Who are we talking about? God the Father, who in time past sovereignly chose you before the foundation of the world that you might be saved. Do you see the Trinity working in your spiritual gifts? That's exactly what I'm seeing. God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father is working together to bring to you an understanding of that which you should be seeking, the spiritual giftedness that he's delivered to you. And he says this about God in verse 6, who works all in all. But the manifestation, which means presentation, demonstration, the proof that's in the pudding. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Could it be said that if we're not seeking that giftedness that God has given to us, that we're robbing our brothers and sisters of the profit that he has for them? Could it be that if we've just simply said, I'm sitting on the sidelines because I've been through too much? As Pastor Gary brought up this morning, I'm too old. I've served my time. I just don't have what it takes. Any excuse that we use before Almighty God, aren't we saying to him, not only do I not trust you in the calling that you've called me to, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're saying, I don't care if I rob you of the profit that you're supposed to gain. Lord, help us. If our ministry is all about self, just like the world's work is all about self, we're not supposed to be that way anymore. We're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but we're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, look at verse 10. Peter writes this to us. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Bottom line, we've all been given gifts by God. Are you seeking it? Do you scripturally see that you've been gifted by God as a believer in Jesus Christ? And are you actively seeking what God wants you to do? Because there is something to find. This is what happens when you start seeking. Let me give you what I notice quite often when we start hurting. When we start hurting, and maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a death in our family, maybe it's a financial failure, and whatever that is, we start hurting because we start wondering if this thing's going to be resolved, if we're going to get through it, or if it's going to crush us, and we start worrying about the outcome of what's taking place in our life. And what do we start doing once we start worrying? Nothing increases the prayer life of the saints of God more than a problem. And all of a sudden we start praying and we start going, oh God, if you'll just get me through this. Oh God, if you'll just heal my hurt heart. Oh God, if you'll just let Ed McMahon, oh he's dead, let the new guy with the Publisher's Clearinghouse show up at my door. We start praying and we start asking God to bless us in the problems that we have. Why aren't we praying that diligently to discover the ministry he's called us to? If indeed what we've read over and over again in Romans, 1 Corinthians, I didn't read the Ephesians passage, and 1 Peter shows us that God's gifted you and called you to ministry, why aren't we seeking that just as diligently as when we have a problem? Here's what happens when you have a problem. I'm not telling you not to pray when you have a problem. Pray when you have a problem. But the Bible says pray without ceasing, right? But here's what happens when you are walking through the trials of this world and you start praying to God for deliverance. You might feel that God is distant and he's over there somewhere, but as you are praying, all of a sudden you're drawing closer and closer and closer and closer to God. And God says, oh, it does my heart good to see problems in your life. For it's when you have problems in your life that you begin walking more in the presence of God. Amen. And when you are seeking him for the ministry he's called you to, through that seeking process, you're drawing closer and closer and closer to the presence of God. Why is Moses the mighty man he is, the man that Pastor Gary preached about during Sunday school this morning? Because he heard the call of God. And when that burning bush spoke, which we know is the Spirit of God in the presence of that burning bush, and having heard the call of God, all of a sudden Moses begins drawing closer and closer and closer to God and walking with him. You see, that's why God's gifted you, because he wants you to be unwrapping the work that he wants to do through you. Daddy, is this the way I need to do it? Father, is this how you want me to walk? Oh, God, is this how you've gifted me? And it becomes that treasure that you discover to walk with God in the way that he's already marked out for you. There's something to find. But, oh, the pleasure is in the seeking. Secondly, seek how to know how God is gifted. You remember how he began 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I don't want you to be ignorant. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, having differing gifts, use them. You're different than me. Amen? I'm so glad. I couldn't stand two of me. And God wants you to know what your differences are. He wants you to know what your distinctions are all about. He wants you to know how to use the giftedness that he's given you. Would you know how to use a crescent wrench if I handed it to you? Some of you might because you've used it before, but you don't use a crescent wrench the way you use a hammer. Well, mechanics do. We've all been given gifts that God wants us to use, and he wants us to know how we've been gifted. There is a way to find it, and that's to seek. And when you seek, thirdly, you'll do something while finding your calling and giftedness. Turn to Romans chapter 1. One verse in Romans I want to bring your attention to. Romans chapter 1, pick up with me for this one verse in verse 11. And you saw the heart of Paul when he was imploring and pleading in the book of Romans for the church to find their giftedness. In verse 11, he says this, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established." You see, without being established, you blow wherever the wind blows you. And you do whatever the world entices you to do. But when you're established, that means you're firmly planted on the foundation of God's hope and God's calling. And when Paul writes this, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift," what he's talking about is a very important principle that we have. We have this important principle when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit with us, and we have this important principle when it comes to the walk that we have with the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's the principle of the alongsider. The alongsider is that person that walks with you. We know the Holy Spirit walks with us because he's been given to us. And that's what Jesus said, "I must go away. If I don't go away, I can't come again and give you those gifts." The Holy Spirit has to come and bring them. He's the alongsider with us. But did you know you're also the alongsider with others, that you walk with others so that they learn and understand that gifts and talents that God is giving you. In other words, Paul is saying, "How can I help you grow?" Have you asked that question about your walk with other people? How can I help them grow? Because that is the part of the discovery process of God's giftedness to you. How has God shaped my hearts and talents to this point? How is he shaping the one I'm walking with to this point? And if we really are serious about following God in the gospel ministry that he's called us to, then we'll know there's something to find. We'll know there's a way to find it, and we'll know that there's something to do while we're finding it, and that's to walk with the church and walk with the Spirit and discover what God has for us to discover as we unwrap and unpackage what he's already gifted us with. So today, as we look around at the ministries of Central Baptist Church, let those questions be on your heart. God, what have you called me to do? And you might not have the answer today, and I'm not going to say you have to stay here today until you discover that answer. No, it's a process, but you keep walking with the church, and you keep walking under the power of the Holy Spirit, and you keep seeking what God has for you. And my friends, I'll tell you, one day, as a 18, 19 year old boy sat behind his desk and said, "God, why have you opened up all these doors for me?" And he said, "Because I called you into the ministry of the gospel." As he spoke to me, as he spoke to Jeff, as he spoke to Pastor Gary, as he spoke to Charlie, as he spoke to, I can name a number of you, he'll speak to you. And he'll begin unveiling. It's not all at once, but he'll begin unveiling that call that he has on your life. Would you at least seek? What does Scripture tell us about when we seek? You find. And I think sometimes we're scared of what we'll find. Didn't God walk through the fiery furnace? Didn't God stop the mouths of lions? Didn't God deliver millions of Israelites from the enslavement of Egypt. Don't be scared of what you'll find. We serve a God that can do the miraculous. Just start looking to find. Amen. Father, I don't know if there's anyone here today that is not saved. But perhaps there's someone here who is not saved, and they've been trying to do the work of the ministry without the alongside or without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And today, they need to be saved. They need to say, Father, please forgive me of all of my sin. I trust that Jesus paid the price in full, and I yield myself as a servant to you, Lord. And Father, if there's anyone here that needs to do that today, I pray they would. But Father, I also know there are many here today that are saved. And I would venture a guess that we fluctuate quite often between living out our calling in the ministry under the power of the Holy Spirit and pursuing works under the power of the flesh. I would guess that we all strive with that from time to time. Oh, Father, our presenting of our bodies as a living sacrifice is a daily thing. God, may our seeking be continuous, and may our finding be every day so that we don't get back to the flesh. And Father, I just pray for this body right now, that your glory would be what we extol, what we shine forth through the works that we do. And I pray this in all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Jeff.